All right, well, this is Brian Krogsgaard here for WP Candy, and I've got a great opportunity today to interview Ron and Andrea Rennick. So I'd like to introduce them now. Hey guys.
Hi, Brian. How you doing?
I'm doing great. How are y'all?
We're doing pretty good.
Hi, Brian.
Hey,
I just
Ron.
had to step out for a second. So I'm back, though.
All right, we got you
Life
both
with
here.
you.
So we were talking a little bit just a minute ago about y'all's Canadian roots. How about y'all just share with those of us who don't know as much about a little bit about where you live and what it's like?
We live in the Maritimes of Canada, which is way on the East Coast. We're an hour ahead of New York. We live in the province of New Brunswick, which is right next to Maine. And I tell people, if you can imagine the map of Maine in your head, and there's on the right side of Maine, there's this straight line on the map. We live near that line. I can see it from my house, like not physically, but I could. So yeah, we live in a really rural area where it just confounds my neighbors that we sit in front of the computer all day and somehow magically make money.
So, what do most of the people do around there then?
They're farmers. They're potato farmers. They're truckers. If they're farming in the summer, our neighbor, he farms in the summer, so we just walk across the road and get fresh produce when it's in season. And in the winter, he drives a truck. So there's a lot of truck drivers around here. Just your average down home kind of people.
Yeah, we're probably say 30-mile radius from here. It's pretty well all farms other than a few small towns.
Really tiny towns.
So you are the online experts of the region.
We try to hide it.
Yeah.
Most people wouldn't know what WordPress is, I assume.
No, they don't know. Usually when I try explaining it to people, like if I'm at the dentist and they say, "What do you do?" They know what Facebook is, but outside of that, that's the extent of it.
Well, that's actually what I was about to ask you. I was going to see how would you describe yourself? I guess that would reference your, to your hometown, but in general to the WordPress world, how would you describe yourself, I guess WordPress wise and elsewhere?
Oh, well, I kind of give different answers depending on who I'm talking to because WordPress-wise, people get it. I don't have to say, like the people around here, I just say I'm a web developer. I help people build websites. I
Right.
help other people build websites mostly.
So for WordPress, I'm a core contributor and I worked extensively on WordPress 3.0, and the main thing I focused on was merging of WordPress and WordPress MU. So I'm sort of a multi-site slash network guru.
Okay.
And yeah, and what we do now is provide plugins and ebooks at WP Ebooks, and we do Genesis Connect for StudioPress themes so that they're BuddyPress compatible.
Well,
That's the two main.
I imagine with 3.0 and bringing in WordPress MU into WordPress multi-site, I mean, that was a big change for you guys. Y'all had been working with MU for quite a long time, and I know y'all made some transitions. You want to maybe tell us a little bit about that, how that went, and maybe how it's gone versus how you might have anticipated it to go?
Well, for me, I think the biggest thing was while we were working on WordPress 3.0, it actually took a lot more of my time than I was initially expecting that it would. And that's partly due to it actually, the dev cycle was longer than expected, but also relative to MU, the WordPress track has an enormous amount of activity and so on. MU was actually quite sedate as far as track and bugs and so on went. So we put quite a bit of time into doing that. So whenever 3.0 was released, that's when we actually started working on redoing our sites to say WordPress instead of WordPress MU and so on. But from a development pro perspective, WordPress 3.0 and WordPress MU 2.92 and and a network was very similar. There wasn't a lot of stuff that changed. The upside of it was being so intimately involved in it as I knew what all the changes were.
Gives you an edge there, I guess.
I was just gonna say when we heard that they wanted to merge the two, I think our perspective was more just letting know the team that, hey, you know, we're really interested in this. How can we help? Just showing up and getting involved. And I think that's part of involvement, is instead of sitting back waiting to see what happened, we kind of looked at each other and said, our business is kind of invested in this. We should help so we know what's going on.
Sure. And that's kind of the community spirit to start with. I mean, you know, each of us is able to kind of have that input on the project.
Yeah, so it was just pitching in and helping, really.
Well, good. So with that, I mean, what projects are you actively dabbling with, I guess? I mean, I know you had WPMU tutorials, and y'all rebranded a bit there. And why don't you walk us through maybe that and some of your other projects that you have going on?
Oh, yeah, we had WPMU tutorials. So when 3.0 came out, we were like, do we get a new domain for this? We'd actually gotten a new domain when we first heard of the merge, and we didn't know what people were going to call it or anything. We actually ditched that idea because we figured the domain we already had so much authority and so much people were used to finding it, and it was, you know, it was full of content on already. And then we realized, well, mostly it's a name change, so that a lot of the archives there are still usable. You just have to think of them different. I should probably rewrite them. And then when I saw in the back end that they changed, they let you see what's in the MU plugins folder, and then they called it must use. So I thought that would be a really cute play on words to call it the WordPress must use tutorials for the MU plugins folder.
So the MU folder that I've really just learned about here recently, I think from you, that came then with the integration between the two?
No,
actually it didn't.
It was added to WordPress 2.8.
Okay.
I had actually used that folder in single WordPress installs for, well, 6 months before we started the merge. It's actually fairly handy to put in, even in a single install, to put in a plugin that doesn't have any UI or anything, but you always want it to run.
Like, you know how all the code snippets are running around in people's blogs and they're saying, put this code in your functions PHP of your theme?
Oh, yeah. So the...
That's the kind of code you can just stick in the MU plugins folder, and then it's not theme dependent.
Yeah, I know there's been some blog posts going around about that. I know Ryan wanted to write one. I don't know how deep he got into that. And Justin Tadlock had written one about putting, you know, things where everybody says to put it in your functions file, to put it in a different plugin folder. So yeah, it definitely makes sense. You know, it's a great place to do something like that. And that way you're not dependent with those functions on your theme, but on, you know, your actual WordPress install.
Exactly.
So you guys are still kicking at WPMU tutorials then, and what about some of your other projects and what you have going on?
We have ronandandrea.com. That's where we tend to put business musings, I guess, or community stuff. And we have our personal sites. We run our own blog network for homeschoolers at homeschooljournal.net.
Did y'all homeschool your kids then?
Yes, we did, and we still are. 16 years? Is this our 16th year or our 17th?
We've just hit the end of 16 years.
Wow.
Yeah, so I think we're going on our 17th year.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's how I got into MU. I set up a blog network for homeschoolers so that they could have a free blog where they can at least find each other. Because if you just go to a generic blog site, it's a lot harder to find people with your same interest. So that's how I started learning WordPress MU back then.
Hmm. That's neat. And you've got...
And the other project, yeah, and our main project is WP eBooks with the plugins and the eBooks, most of which are for multi-site. All of them are for multi-site.
Yeah, I know a lot of those are really interesting to me. I mean, could you maybe tell us a little bit about some of your, maybe your top plugins and what the offerings are there?
Well, I like the one that I think is the coolest, because we gave it a jazzy name, is called the Replicator. If you say it in your best WWF voice, it really, really works. Anyway, what the Replicator does is, if you are running a network of multiple sites and you want to set up a lot of new defaults for a new blog on the system, the problem is the built-in options don't give you a lot, and maybe you want to set, you can network activate plugins, but that doesn't do anything with the settings. You can set a default theme, but that does, again, that doesn't do anything with the settings. And you can't set default widgets. But with the Replicator, you can set up a template blog, and then at any given time, replicate that blog to another site. Sometimes I call them blogs, sometimes I call them sites. Or you can even set it as your default. So if you have people signing up, they can have things already set up for them. And so people have found that this really, really cuts down if they have to create, say they're building a network where a lot of the blogs on it have to be using the same theme. So, and they have to keep setting up the similar sites all the time. Huge, huge time saver.
So if you've got, so if you're setting something up that maybe has 5 or 6 pages on it, it can actually replicate the pages and the sidebar setup with the widgets and everything then, huh?
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, and any of your navigation menus, your media, it other than the stuff like the site URL and a few of the other things that are specific to an individual blog, it makes a complete duplicate of the site.
Yeah, that's great. That's awesome.
Yeah, it's really, it's literally, you just fill out this, like your add a site detail, and you click the button, and boom, it's all copied.
Boom, just like that, huh?
Boom, yeah.
Is that your newest one, then?
No, that's not the newest. I think that one's been out a bit.
I actually originally wrote that 2 years ago. The version for 3.0, we released that in August. But the original version I wrote of that was for MU 2.7.
Okay. Yeah, I know I've seen your I've seen this one before. I didn't know exactly how it worked. But I know you guys are famous for, you know, your domain mapping plugin and your roles plugin.
Yeah, we have a slightly different version of domain mapping. We use it on our own network. Some of our individual blogs are actually domain mapped with our plugin on the same network. And if you go looking in the source, you can't tell, because that's one of the things our plugin does, is it hides the originating subdomain.
Okay.
So, and I actually I'm one of the contributors to free domain mapping. So one of the things we do with that, if someone gets the domain mapping ebook, they're welcome to use either my domain mapping that does the complete hiding or the free one, and we still provide the support for either plugin.
Okay. So the ebook supports both the free and the premium version then?
Yeah. And I'm putting in new updates on a regular basis, and I'm trying to get in there's some host specific ones now. The latest iteration, I added stuff specific to GoDaddy, because that's a slightly different process if you're domain mapping on GoDaddy. And I think cPanel hosts are in there, of course. And I've got some other ones planned that need to go in there. So it's really, as time goes on, it'll just get more extensive.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, I remember, I think you told me, Andrea, about how GoDaddy was significantly different. And you know, I was like most people that start out. I started and got a domain name and went with GoDaddy. And, you know, as I got more into things, I stuck with it. But, you know, I wanted to enable multi-site. And by that time for me, it was too late without some things that I didn't really understand. So I actually switched hosts based on your recommendation of a different host. Not that I had awful service with GoDaddy, but, you know, it wasn't as easy to enable multi-site. And that's really the direction I wanted to go. So you actually were a part of me switching hosts, so there
Oops.
You go.
Or yay. So that's working out good for you then?
Yeah, it's been great so far.
Oh, good.
Yeah. I'm really a noob as far as it comes to multi-site, so I've been experimenting with a lot of things recently and really relying on some of y'all's resources.
Cool. Can I blow your mind a bit?
Do it.
One of the other ebooks that actually sells really well, and sometimes I'm confused why it sells so well, because I thought this was such a niche need, but it's called Networks Plus. And it's a plugin that allows you to add an additional network in your network, so that instead of adding another site or blog that is domain mapped, you can domain map it, or it can be a subdomain, and it can actually have child blogs. So you can have a network within a network.
It's like a grandbaby network.
Well, the networks are, I mean, they're using the same WordPress install, but WordPress treats them separately. The only thing that's shared across them is the users. But you can have in WordPress actually theoretically supports an unlimited number of networks in the same physical install.
So technically, if you've got one parent site, you can run as many networks as you want out of that.
As long as you don't mind sharing the users, yep.
Yeah. We actually had someone who was using an earlier version of that one, because that plugin's actually over
That's
2 years
really old.
old as well.
Yeah. Well, we've updated it, but yeah.
Yeah, I mean, kind of update, but it's over 2 years old, and for about a year, there was a person who had about 50 networks.
Oh gosh. All from the same base network then.
Yeah, and then so the way that one was set up was each network was a subdomain, and then the blogs hanging off of it were folders under on the subdomain. And I've seen quite a few people use it for doing that, because it's a nice way to slice and dice up the same install. And to separate up the content and so on.
Yeah, it makes kind of a neat site structure then.
Because some people have, say, legacy sites that they're converting to WordPress, and they have a certain URL structure that they need to keep. And multi-site can only nest things so far, but if you sort of think about it a little different and think in terms of multiple networks, you can nest it at least one more. You can list it, I guess, only one more.
Yeah.
The most I've been able to see things nested is to three levels. Three levels. That's about as far as you can go.
How disappointing.
I know.
Yeah.
Usually when I explain it, people are like, "You can do that?" And I'm like, "Yeah." And they're all cool. I'm like,
Yeah,
"I know."
that's really awesome.
And of course, I run a network myself. I like to do these things, so it helps us. See, we. You know the phrase, eat your own dog food?
Sure.
Yeah. So we like to use our own products. That way we keep tabs on them, and usually we're the ones playing around with them first. So we're the ones that are finding things that need to be updated, or if something broke, or I did something unexpected. Ron usually writes stuff and then he sends it to me to try and break it, which works out really well.
You do it often enough.
But now I break stuff and then I send it back, and then I also have to write about it. So I have to figure out how things work, and then I have to figure out how I'm going to explain it to other people who have no idea how it works. But we also run a network in our main install where we have like WPMU tutorials and ronandandrea.com. That's in a network, but I also have atypicallife.net is my personal site, which I've had for years and years and years. We pulled that into multi-site to figure out how to do it, and we made that its own network. So now I've got my blog, two of my daughters have a blog there, a distant cousin has a blog there, and regrettably, my mother has her blog there. So it's been really interesting.
Regrettably. Yeah, I mean, that's kind of how I've been myself. I really learned on WP Candy's setup, which Ryan's got a little bit of experience, or more than a little bit of experience with multi-site, and you know, he's got a unique setup for us as well. And originally, WP Candy was part of the Guru Network, which is their parent company.
Mm-hmm.
But then eventually, he actually switched it over to where WP Candy is now the parent site on the network. And, you know, we've got like a wiki and an ideas blog and a team blog and, you know, really running 3-4 different things in the workflow. So I really was able to get used to how that works, and it's very cool. It's a great way to show off the power of WordPress and everything that it can do. So, kudos, Ron, on that one.
Yeah. So, I'm just curious. Did you keep the admin bar, or did you put the snack bar in?
Actually, you'll probably make fun of Ryan. He hadn't updated to 3.1 yet for the main site.
Oh.
Now,
uh-oh.
I have for my personal site, where basically I'm just testing for different websites that I make. I'll just throw them in a new site and, you know, install my theme, and I'll do my live testing on my subdomains right now. And
isn't that awesome?
Yeah,
that
it's
you can
awesome.
Do that?
Yeah, it's been great. And the snack bar is on my list of things to install. It's one of the things that I'm excited about. It's a cool plugin. You want to tell us a little bit about that for those that don't know?
That's a very small collaboration project between Peter Westwood and Pete Mall and I. That was originally in the WordPress 3.1 beta, and they had issues with the CSS and some of that stuff, and it wasn't working with some browsers or whatever, so they decided to pull it. And so Peter Westwood initially made got the plugin repo for it. I added a few links to it, and since then the other two Peters have done some more work and done some rearranging of some links and done some added some CSS and that type of stuff to it.
So what all can go in the snack bar then?
Well, what the snack bar gives you is network links, so that you can go directly from network to network admin from anywhere in your network. So, like, actually, the dev version has a link to sites, themes, users, plugins, and settings. So the five main network admin screens, there's a link to all of them. And then for the individual site, you can go to certain admin screens, and I don't remember which ones those are.
I think the themes menu was one of them, appearance. So, yeah, we just sat here and thought of common things that you would do as a multi-site super admin,
mm-hmm.
that you need to access when you were looking at one of the users' blogs. So we just thought, where are the places that we go to often? And I said, ooh, I know, stuff this in there. See,
yeah.
This is me testing again.
Yeah, that's great. I look forward to using that one. Now, so with 3.1, you know, the separation of the network admin from the site admin, what kind of role did y'all have in that? And what do you think about it in general? You know, I've gotten to play with it a little bit, and it seems like a good idea. Maybe you can, you know, expound on that a little bit.
Brian Boren, one of the leads on WordPress, he was mulling it over one day, and I think he asked me what I thought of that idea. And I said, I think it's a really good idea. Go for it. So they did. Pete Mall, he did a big chunk of the work. I got my first patch in 3.1 because of the network admin, because they have all these, they separated things out into new menu screens. So some of them didn't have help text. And for 3.0, I helped out with some of the help text before, but I didn't actually submit patches for that. But for 3.1, I figured out how to make a patch. Ron showed me what to do. We have tools set up on our local machines to make that process a lot easier, so I didn't have to, you know, set up SVN by myself, because I already knew how to do that, and
right.
It was already set up on the machine. But it was really neat actually creating a patch for WordPress, because what you do is you've got WordPress on your local machine, and then counterintuitive to everything you've been taught, you hack WordPress. And then you send your changes. So that's what I did. I set up, I looked to see how they set up the help screens, and on the pages that didn't have them, I added the code and I added the help text and I sent the patches in.
So how many was it like Nason's 9-character patch, his first one? Was it something like that, or was it a few lines? What was it?
It was a few lines of help text, like say range of 1 to 10, maybe.
Right.
Yeah, like just a handful of screens with maybe 3 to 4 lines a piece. As far as coding goes, it was dead simple. I always say I'm not the coder in this partnership here. I mean, I can do simple stuff if I'm pressed, and I can kind of understand it. But I code like I speak French, which is I think I can do more than I can, really. And that joke went over really well in Montreal, because the people who tried to hear me speak French to them were rolling around in the aisles. But it was just a really interesting process to actually put something that's in there. And even though, okay, 3.0 had, what, 30-some-odd million downloads, when 3.1 hits the same spot, I'll be like, wow, my work was in that. But it's in network admin, so hardly anyone will see it, relatively speaking. But it's there. I know it's there.
We'll know. We'll spread the word.
Yeah,
So with 3.1, I had like 12 or 13 patches or something like that in there. I actually think I had more patches punted to 3.2 than went in, like various stuff that I found. But mostly what I was putting in was bug fixes of stuff that I found.
So you guys have... Sounds like you have a to-do list, yep, then, for what you want to see in 3.2?
Yeah, and I mean, the tickets and stuff are all still there, so, I mean, in some cases, it was too late in the process to even consider putting it in. I think I have, like, 2 or 3 that I did just before RC4 came out, and, you know, I just put in the notes on it, not for 3.1, right, because it wasn't anything that was terribly critical.
Right.
Yeah, Ron kind of took a break from contributing stuff on 3.1 because we had to catch up on some other things.
Do you guys do private development as well? Are you taking on private work?
Yeah, we do.
Tiny bit.
We're actually roughly let's say we're somewhere between a third and a half of our revenue comes from doing projects
for other people.
Okay.
Yeah, like doing development projects or whatever.
And you've got a new way of wrapping all this together now, I understand, to kind of pull all of your different entities that you've developed into one machine.
Like under Rennick, right, Media, yeah.
Is there any...
Yeah, finally any, got
the... So y'all are...
Finally got big enough.
You're a big evil corporation now. You're Rennick Media.
Yeah, there's... I ran a consulting business for about 8 years, starting in the mid-90s. And there's lots of paperwork reasons to have a corporation.
Sure.
So the reason that we set up the corporation was actually for paperwork, accounting, reporting to the government, and that type of stuff.
Yeah, like we have the occasional type of clients where it's a lot easier for them to pay us if we're a corporation rather than individuals.
Right.
There's substantially less paperwork to sign and less confusion all around, especially if it's between U.S. and Canada.
Mm. Yeah, it just makes it easier if a transaction is going from one company to another company.
Exactly.
Yeah, because companies fall under the free trade agreements, the various trade agreements.
NAFTA.
NAFTA and other ones.
So much fun.
I know. And you thought this we wouldn't get into politics at all.
We can get into whatever kind of politics y'all want.
That's okay.
So the other thing that we didn't mention was Genesis Connect. And that's basically the BuddyPress support for
Genesis
and almost all of the official Genesis child themes. There's right now there's three child of the official child themes that we don't have support for, and we're probably going to do another release sometime in the next week, which will have at least two of those three covered.
Okay, so soon almost every child theme that Studio Press puts out will have Buddy Press support through Genesis Connect then.
Yep.
That's right.
And if you're looking at a particular Genesis child theme, it will say so on the sales page.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's great. That's awesome.
Well, yeah, it's been really neat because instead of all the extra template work people have to go through when they want to use a non-BuddyPress theme mm-hmm. with BuddyPress, they just, if they're using a Genesis child theme, they just add Genesis Connect, they activate the plugin, and boom again.
There you go. Well, let me ask y'all, you know, we talked a little bit before the show. Y'all are in a little bit more of a unique situation than some of the people involved in WordPress. It's such a young project. You're the only WordPress grandparents that I know of. So I was going to see what that was like.
It's interesting.
As far as I know, I'm actually the second oldest WordPress core contributor.
I have to ask who has you beat.
Pardon me?
I have to ask who has you beat.
And Roz.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So do you guys just see, you know, things going on, maybe some of the drama sometimes and...
Yeah, and we just shake our heads and move on with our day. It's just easier all the way around if we go do something else. Life's too short. That I think being older and having grown children and having grandchildren, you have to think about where you want to spend your time.
Sure.
Yeah, and it's really interesting when I see my youngest child and my granddaughter and think, when I compare them to the oldest, you know, WordPress wasn't even around when our youngest child was born. But by the time she got old enough to know what a keyboard is, she's, you know, she has a blog. She's had a blog since she was a toddler, actually.
Yeah.
Wow. And she would tell me what to type in it. So to her, having a blog is normal. You know, being able to communicate with people on the internet is part of your day, whereas with my older kids, they're still shaking their head and they're like, you have how many followers on Twitter? What?
Are they jealous of you?
They're mostly shaking their heads.
One of the things for me is, we didn't have high speed internet until I was about somewhere between 39 and 40. So I actually started working back in the late 80s. I worked on an operating system called VMS, which was all terminal-based. You could get terminal emulation programs on for Windows and so on, but still it was all terminal-based. So even though we're dealing with a lot of people who are younger than us, we're mostly noobs when it comes to things like IRC, like I've never had an AIM or an ICQ or a Yahoo, whatever the Yahoo chat program is. Mm-hmm. I have, the only one that I'd actually had before 5 years ago was I had an MSN account because I was a Microsoft certified developer, and you had to sign up to MSN.com to use some of the developer tools or to get access to some of the developer tools. So it kind of, there's definitely, from my perspective, a generational gap there, because a lot of people we're dealing with, they've been using this stuff since they were maybe 10 or 12 or whatever, right?
Right.
And it's as much a part of their user experience as Windows or X Windows or whatever the version happens to be that they're running, right? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I remember when our province got the internet, we were beta users, and we had 8 or 9 months of free free server?
No, it was we were actually signed up before. They had the accounting system in place to keep track of your usage.
Oh, okay.
But that only lasted for about 3 or 4 weeks.
So you were users for the internet.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I remember the software they gave us. You could access Usenet and Gopher and Telnet and FTP. And so I was reading news groups and stuff at the time on dial-up, way out in the country. And I remember the day I found out there's pages you can look at with pictures on them on the internet. And I remember describing it to people saying, like, it's a library, but, like, a hurricane ran through it and you can't find anything. So this is, like, free search engine. So when we've got when they talk about the information fire hose, and when you remember being there when you could sort of keep track of what was going on.
That's amazing. So where's that put you guys in your free time now then? I know you've got some quilting going on.
Yes.
You want to tell us a little bit about that and maybe some of the things you've got going on, Ron?
Well, quilts to keep the grandbaby warm. She can't get cold. She's not allowed. I find it's a really good hobby because I'm working on the computer all day. And we've talked to other people about this and not about quilting specifically. But there's a surprisingly large amount of people who work in things like development who have hobbies that have an artistic bent, or because, you know, you're working with your brain on the computer, and then I find for your off time, a lot of people like to do something where they're working with their hands to free up their brain a little, is what I'm thinking.
Hmm. So we moved about 4 years ago. So we moved when this house and the last house were both 100 years old, roughly. Like this one here was built around 1900 or so. And so what we do is we buy an old house that needs work, and one of my off-computer things that I do is actually go through and, like, repaint, refinish walls, take 30-year-old wallpaper off the walls. And
rip up floors.
Refinish, you know, basically go through and renovate them without necessarily gutting them and so on. So right now that's actually the only... of that type of hobby, that's the only one I'm working on right now. The other two things I usually do, or
used to,
hobbies that I had were wood turning and stained glass. The thing with the stained glass is you definitely need a workshop to do that in.
Yeah.
So I've got about another 2 years to go on this before I'm in the spot where I'll have a workshop so I can do stained glass.
You kind of got to build your workshop first.
Yeah.
Then.
Yeah. Build the workshop and then bring the stained glass back. That's awesome.
Pretty much.
Yeah. Stained glass is, it takes quite a bit of time, but it's a lot of fun to do. Actually, I wrote a post about that last month. So.
Really?
Cool.
Yeah.
Maybe we'll link it up in the notes here then.
Sure.
Yeah. I had another thought. You were talking about the working with younger people that are the same age as our children.
Mm-hmm.
It's funny because I think our homeschooling actually helps with that more than anything, the fact that we have homeschooled and the fact that we have kids that are the same age. Because since we did it so long, we fell into a particular style. So I think it makes it kind of a little easier for us
to relate
to people that you would normally see, oh, they're younger, but to us, not really, because maybe skill-wise with WordPress, we're close to the same level or something.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure if I'm explaining it right. Probably not this time of night.
So because of your experience with homeschooling, it makes you more able to handle some of the things that come along with, you know, dealing with people in WordPress then. Like, I know y'all are in the forums a lot, like the .org forums, so I'm
yes.
sure it can help you with that, you know, answering those some of questions that seem obvious to you, but, you know, not to a child or a WordPress child. Somebody like me.
A dev or a user, yeah. Yeah, like a fellow user. If I'm trying to simplify the answer, I'm not trying to talk down to them or anything, but I'm trying to find the level, and sometimes that they can start from understanding, and I usually strip it back all the way to, how would I explain this to one of my children?
Yeah, so you've got some techniques to draw in there.
Yeah, and since I'm kind of used to teaching and explaining these things with, well, we have different kids, and they all had different learning styles and different ways they absorb the information, so you learn to be nimble really quick then.
Very cool. Well, is there something that, you know, we could look forward to going forward then? Something anything else you want to share with us?
Yeah, we're just...
We're comparing notes. Yeah, whatever you like.
Yeah.
So, March 23rd is our wedding anniversary, which we said. Did we say that?
We went through that a little bit before the show. Congratulations.
Yep, March 23rd, wedding anniversary, 21 years of putting up with each other.
All right.
So we thought we would give the WordPress WP Candy listeners and readers coupon code for WP eBooks.
That's awesome.
Doesn't that sound awesome?
That is...
Then we can like spread the love. It'll be like an anniversary party.
Yeah, the Rennick anniversary party at WP Candy.
Sweet. How much you want to give them off, Ron?
We might as well do the 21%.
21% for 21 years?
Yeah. 21%. 21% for 21 years. That's awesome. That's great. I think.
And we'll let the coupon code run till the end of the month.
Till the end of March.
Okay.
WP Candy 21.
Mm-hmm.
Use the coupon code WP Candy 21.
There you go. WP Candy 21. 21% off to celebrate 21 years and run till the end of March. All right.
That's for anything over at WPEbooks.com.
WPEbooks.com. Yeah, y'all, that's very exciting. I might have to take advantage of that one myself.
Speaking of the end of the month,
okay.
I just thought of something else. I keep forgetting about this. I don't know why. So at the end of the month, the WordPress All-in-One Desk Reference for Dummies is coming out.
That's right.
The book that I co-authored with Lisa Sabin Wilson.
Just that book that you did. Nothing much.
Nothing much. Just 6 chapters worth of multi-site in there.
You know, I was actually looking at that earlier today. I was looking on Amazon at the blogging and blog section or whatever they call it there.
Mm-hmm.
And it's got, you know, it looks like y'all are ranked pretty highly there, just even on pre-sales.
Yeah,
I saw an April date on there. So you're saying it's going to be released in March then?
Did they change it to April? I'd have to go look again.
Yeah, I'd have to look. So we can expect it soon is the point.
Yeah, that's my point. People should go pre-order it. They really should.
And that's WordPress for Dummies, All-in-One.
WordPress All-in-One Desk Reference for Dummies.
All-in-One Desk Reference for Dummies. Yeah.
It's a long title.
We'll link it up. And you co-authored that with who again?
Lisa Sabin Wilson.
Okay.
Michael Torbert from All-in-One SEO Pack.
Mm-hmm.
Corey Miller from iThemes. And Kevin. I'm so sorry, Kevin. I can't remember your last name.
We won't tell him.
I'm terrible with names.
Sure. No, that's fine.
Kevin, who is a wonderful person and did the section on social media.
He's just Kevin.
He was awesome.
Our buddy Kevin.
Yeah.
No, that's great. We'll definitely be looking forward to that. We'll want to get a review up as soon as we can once that comes out.
Sweet.
So, lots going on. And
we got
freebies and books and plenty of other things. So everybody can find you at WP eBooks, at WPMUtutorials.com.
Mm-hmm.
Any other URLs you guys want to throw out there?
They can find me on Twitter pretty much all the time.
There we go.
If they can put up with the flood of my tweets.
No, yours are some of my favorites. I make sure to catch those. So what... Give us y'all's handles then there.
I'm Andrea_R on Twitter.
And I'm WPMU Guru.
Guru spelled G-U-R-U?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay.
And that name is tongue-in-cheek.
Okay. Well,
so you know.
I certainly appreciate you guys talking to us. We look forward to the freebies and everything that you've got coming up. So.
It was great talking to you too, Brian.
Thanks, Brian.
All right, thank you very much.